In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin, and we are going through the book of Exodus. We're in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. And we're going to take some time today to talk about a real important issue connected to this topic, and that is euthanasia. Now, the information I'm going to share, I received from a church I had served years ago, and I think you're going to find it very helpful. Now, what is euthanasia? Euthanasia consists of an act or a deliberate omission taken by one or more people with the intention of causing the death of a person and actually causing that death. It is believed by proponents of euthanasia that the death being caused is for the good of the person who is being killed. So let's be clear. Euthanasia is an act of killing. Now, what is active euthanasia? That definition means to consist of the effort of a person to cause his own death or the death of another. With active euthanasia, the medical cause of death is not the disease or injury, but rather the act taken to cause death. We've seen this in social media. Someone discovers they have some serious cancer. They don't want to go through the pain and suffering, so they commit active euthanasia and end their life way before the symptoms manifest themselves. Now, what's passive euthanasia? Passive euthanasia is the withholding, the withdrawing, the refusal of available medical treatment that could clearly enable a person to live significantly longer. The intent of passive euthanasia is to cause a person's death at a time when death is not imminent. So notice with passive euthanasia, by withholding, you're killing them. That really is the idea. There's another definition, letting die. This consists of withholding or withdrawing all life-prolonging and life-sustaining medications and technologies, and here's the key, from a terminally or irreversibly ill patient with whom death is imminent, even with treatment. So in other words, they're going to die no matter what you do. The prolonging is postponing the imminent death. The intention of letting die is not to choose or intend death, but to enhance the well-being of the patient by avoiding useless prolonging of the dying process. So this is really key. How is the person going to die? Is it going to die through active euthanasia, where the specific act kills the individual? Is it passive euthanasia, where the withholding will cause the person to die? Or is it letting die? In other words, they're going to die no matter what, and all you're doing is postponing death. The difference between letting die and passive euthanasia is this. With passive euthanasia, death is not imminent, and medical treatment could clearly enable a person to live significantly longer. But with letting die, the patient's death is imminent. It's inevitable, even with treatment. In other words, medical technologies can no longer prevent the death. Whereas passive euthanasia seeks to cause a person's death, letting die seeks to enhance the well-being of the patient by avoiding the prolongation of the dying process. Understanding these distinctions will help you think more clearly through difficult decisions of a loved one who is facing imminent death. Now, what about the biblical response? Death is inevitable, and its timing ultimately rests in the hand of God. This is really important to understand. God is the one who gives us life, and God is the one who takes that life away on planet Earth. Life is a gift from God, and everyone has an obligation to value their own life and the life of others, regardless of the circumstances. Now, because Scripture prohibits murder and suicide, we just mentioned Exodus 20:13, we mentioned Genesis 9:6, Deuteronomy 5:17. Euthanasia is never an acceptable option for the believer. In addition to violating the prohibition of suicide, the act of killing oneself is the ultimate expression of selfishness. And I have met members of families who have had members who have killed themselves. And one of the things they both said in the two instances I'm aware of, is they called them a coward. And that's just a reality that when someone commits suicide, there is collateral damage that continues on. It hurts and cuts to the heart of the relationship. And it's sad. And I know life is difficult. Sometimes it seems like life is impossible. But we must, as believers, trust in God and persevere in those circumstances. Now, in the case that a patient is irreversibly terminal and death is imminent, regardless of the treatment provided, it is acceptable for the patient, or if the patient is unconscious, a legally authorized third party, to choose to withhold any of the following forms of treatment: life-sustaining medication, life-sustaining medically administered nourishment, and life-sustaining support systems. In other words, although Scripture forbids all form of euthanasia, letting die is an acceptable option in the circumstances described above. Now, I said as earlier, you and your loved ones may want to consider creating a living will that indicates your wishes regarding medical treatment in order to guide medical personnel in a situation when you are unable to make decisions or choose treatment options. Let me just close with this part of this section. This is difficult. You may have already done euthanasia, and now after hearing this, you may start to feel guilty. Confess that sin and God will forgive you. It's the past. There's nothing you can do to undo that situation. So seek God and He will give you the forgiveness needed, because you may have acted out of ignorance, not understanding these distinctions. But if you have some parents or family members, or you're married, I strongly consider get a living will. Talk about these things and share this with your family members so they understand your wishes, so that when the situation occurs, the family members know exactly what to do, and they will not be placed in a position where they'll have to make difficult decisions that they're going to have to live with for the rest of their life. You do not want your loved ones to be strapped with guilt. And I can tell you that is a very strong reality if the wishes are not outlined. Well, there's certainly more to say on this, and may you talk to your pastor and other notable Christians who know the Word of God and seek their counsel as you decide how to proceed in a situation like this in a living will. Now, let's move to commandment number 7. And that is no adultery. It reads in verse 14 of chapter 20, you shall not commit adultery. And that command repeats in Deuteronomy 5:18. Now, the purpose of this command is to protect marriage. And again, as I said, these commandments are not to be seen as harsh, but they are designed as loving principles so that we can maximize the joy on this earth. This is to protect the marriage. Now, what is adultery? It is physical intercourse as a married person with another, or as an individual with a married person. So you can be married or unmarried, but the individual you're having intercourse with may be married or not married. So I guess to make it simple is we're not talking about fornication. Fornication is different since it's physical intercourse between two unmarried persons. So if one of the two parties is married, it's adultery. If both parties are unmarried, it's fornication. There is a distinction in the Scripture. Both are sins, in case you're wondering. So physical intercourse before you're married is a great sin. And today in our society, many couples are choosing to live in the same house and to cohabitate. Let me just speak to you, if that's you, get out of that situation right now. That is sin, and God is not pleased. And the statistics that are behind this is terrible, because I think I've read somewhere as many as 90 to 95% of the people who cohabitate before they get married end up in a divorce. Let me just speak for a moment on this issue to the men and women out there who may be in this situation. Let me first talk to the man. If you are doing this, I want to demonstrate to you that this is not loving her. This is not showing her that you see her in a noble way. This is not respecting her. This is not loving her in any way. You are disrespecting her in the most profound way. Because in the end, what you've done is you have defiled her. See, God designed marriage to be between one man and one woman. intimate relationship. And that marriage is consummated after they are wed before God himself. That's the picture. And so you as the husband are to lay down your life for her, to love her in an understanding way. But if you're being selfish and trying to gratify your needs and your lust because you're unwilling to marry her and devote the rest of your life serving her, you're no longer a man. You are a sinner defiling her. And deep down inside, gentlemen, this woman knows that you have disrespected her. Deep down, she will resent the fact that you did not wait till you were married. Now, let me speak to the ladies. If you are in a situation too, you are just as guilty as he is. You have lowered the standard of God to have your needs satisfied and gratified. And this is not love. This is lust at the end of the day. You need to get out of that relationship. You need to walk away and say, we need to honor God and we need to stop doing this until we get married. And if you do that, I'm telling you, God will honor both of you. If you confess your sin, he will forgive both of you and he can restore that relationship to have the integrity that it needs to weather the future storms. Because let me tell you, there come a day when there's going to be pressures in that relationship. And because you didn't have the integrity at the beginning to restrain yourself, to show the respect to the other person, that little seed of distrust will sprout and you'll begin to become paranoid and you'll begin to look at them in a way of distrust. And that distrust will lead to infidelity and possibly divorce. It will erode the intimacy and trust that you have in a relationship. I could say so much more, but let me just say the scriptures are clear. If you're not married, you're fornicating and you're in sin and you need to get out of that situation. Go move out quickly, end that lease, find family and friends, move in with another and show the other individual that you love Christ and you love them by being holy and respectful to the word of God and to that person. I know this is difficult in this day and age, but that is the truth. And if you truly love God, and if you truly love this other person, then you will deny yourself, carry your cross, follow Christ for the sake of another person. You are called to that as a Christian. And if you're an unbeliever, you need to get out of this. You need to get saved and understand. Talk to a pastor who knows the word of God, and they will shepherd you in how to have a marriage that is centered on Christ and his word. So this whole commandment of do not commit adultery is to avoid a nightmare situation. And I pray as we continue this next time that you will seriously consider, especially if right now you're in an adulterous situation, that you would cry out to God, get out of that situation, ask for mercy, confess your sins right away. Well, we have more to say on this, but our time is up. I pray that you begin to examine yourself. And if you know someone who's in this situation, pray for them. And also, if you're not in this situation, thank God for the protection that he has provided you. And if you're in a marriage and you are being faithful, continue to do the things that will honor God. Well, until we meet next time, may you continue to love God and love others by obeying his word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.